Hi there, this is Pastor Christeline here from Calvary City Church, and welcome to our sermon podcast. We pray as you listen to the word today, it encourages you, inspires you, and launches you into the destiny that God has for you. May you always be found in good health, and may everything that your hand touches prosper. Enjoy the sermon.
Good evening, Calvary City Church. The medical news today did a survey and they found out that 42% of the population in the whole world, 42%, that's nearly half, suffer from some sort of worry, anxiety, and fear. Basically, worry, anxiety, fear, it's all in the same basket. It's just different levels of emotion. Worry is actually, it's in the mind. You're thinking of something that does not exist yet. It is not planning ahead, because planning ahead, you can do something. Worry is, someone once said, worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but you don't go anywhere. And anxiety is the physical manifestation of the worry. You know the times that you might have felt anxious? You know, you suddenly feel, it's a sympathetic drive. Your blood pressure goes up, your heart rate, it's fast. You get a bit of palpitation, you're cold, you're clammy. So this is anxiety. And then there is fear. Now, when it comes to fear, I would like to be very clear. I'm talking about irrational fear. See, fear is for the preservation of life. The rational fear is for the preservation of life. So that's good. But here I'm talking about an irrational fear. You see, a rational fear is, when I go to work, there's certain stretches of road which is quite lonely, but the road is straight and it takes a curve and it's smooth. Now, many times that accidents have happened. Very paradoxically, low density traffic, good road, but accidents happen. Why? Because people miscalculate. So whenever I go through those roads, I don't have fear, but I'm extra careful. In a way, fearful enough to make me drive extra carefully. So that's a rational fear. Or in other way, see a person trampling or a person in the African jungles. Now he'll be watching as he walks along because he doesn't want to step on any scorpion or any spider or any snake. Now that is a rational fear. But irrational fear is when in your own house, you're walking like this scared of scorpions and snakes. Now that's irrational fear. So I also want to be clear, when I talk about irrational fear, I'm not talking about people who have genuine fear, which is secondary to chemical balances in the brain. Now that's an organic problem. No, we've got this brain chemical, serotonin or GABA or noradrenaline or dopamine, which actually helps to keep us mentally safe, stable and sound. Some people, for some reasons, these chemicals are not in balance. So they've got to take medication. So I am not talking about those kind of situations. I'm talking today of irrational fear. I'm talking today of extreme worry that leads to anxiety. And 42% of the world's population suffer from this today. That's nearly half. And probably you and I have gone through phases in our life when we have gone through these situations of fear and anxiety and extreme worry. Now, we need to deal with this. Especially since half the population is going through it, we need to deal with this. Because there are spiritual implications for this kind of fear. Now, I want us all to just spend some time to look into the story of a person called Job in the Bible. Now, Job, to actually reduce the time, I'll just tell you roughly the story. This is a real story, okay? It's not just a fictional story. The story of a person called Job. He was a prosperous man. 7 sons, 3 daughters. 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels. And he was a righteous man. He was a blameless man. Now, when you say blameless, you're talking about a horizontal relationship. He's not sinless. Sinless is a vertical relationship. No, he was a blameless man. That means he was a good guy, a nice man, a good man. And then one day he lost everything. He lost 10 children. He lost the 7,000 sheep. He lost the 3,000 camels. He lost everything. And there is a startling, astonishing statement that he makes. You find that in Job chapter 3, verse 25. What I feared has come upon me. The fear that I feared has become a reality. What I was so scared of, what I was so worried about, anxious about, fearful about has become a reality. Now, this is serious, don't you think so? That means fear has an intrinsic possibility of becoming real. Or rather, the thing that you're fearful about can become real. And you know, when I dug in further, you know here it's still written that he's a blameless man, a righteous man. So I was thinking, why would this happen to him? And then when I look at Job, I look in verse 5, it's written that early in the morning he would sacrifice. Now, those days it was sacrifice, but now we pray, okay? He would sacrifice burnt offerings for each of them, his children. Perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Now, today we don't offer burnt sacrifices, but today we actually go in prayer. So what happened here is Job went into prayer in fear. We are supposed to go to prayer to meet our Heavenly Father in faith, not in fear. You know, sometimes, you know, we go before God and we tell all our problems. God, you don't know. This disease is serious. This disease is debilitating. Lord, with this disease, I don't know how long I'm going to live. The doctor says that this disease can spread. The doctor says that this disease will progressively be worse. The doctor says that this disease is irreversible. Oh God, you don't know my financial situation now. The economy is down. And if the economy is down, I can't pay the people in my company. And if I can't pay, I can be declared bankrupt. And if I'm bankrupt, I lose my house. I lose my car. I lose everything. You know what happens? We go and tell God and how big our problem is instead of going and telling the problem how big our God is. We go to God and tell the mountain is so tall, the mountain is so imposing, instead of telling to the mountain, my God is great, my God is an everlasting God. That's what sometimes happens in our prayer. You know what is the difference between a telescope and a microscope? See, both are optical instruments, but a telescope is when you use to see big objects. You want to see the stars and the planets. You want to see big objects, you use a telescope. Microscope is when you want to look at a small object. Sometimes our prayer life, our spiritual walk with God is like that. We have a telescopic view of the problem with a microscopic view of the God that we serve. Instead of having a telescopic view of the great God that I serve, the great healer, the great I am, and a microscopic view of the problem, this great I am can handle my problem. This great healer can heal my diseases. This great redeemer can bring back and sort out my relationship. No. We are having a telescopic view of the problem. And a very microscopic view of the God that we serve. And there is a reason for that. You see, now we are so engulfed by social media. And social media is not giving us information. It is consuming us. But the Word of God is just giving us information instead of consuming us. Social media, which is supposed to give us information, consumes us. Word of God, which is supposed to consume us, merely gives us information. Now, this has to change. We have got to fight this fear knowing who our God is. And you know, nowadays, the world actually gives us excuses to have this fear. It's okay. It's okay to have fear. It's okay to be worried. It's okay to be anxious. And you know what? Science gives a name for it. Oh, you're fearful of space, it's claustrophobia. You're fearful of water, it's hydrophobia. You're fearful of heights, it's aerophobia. Oh, you know what? You know, you can be fearful of chickens. Yeah, chickens. These people don't go near KFC, I think. Electrophobia. You can be fearful of beards. Ogonophobia. So WHO published an article just this year that says it is normal to have such emotions during pandemics. It is normal. It is all right to have such emotions during pandemic. WHO tells you it's okay. But Bible tells you, Matthew 6:25, do not worry. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, do not be anxious. Now, who do you want to believe? WHO or Bible? You know, I also realized one thing. The very fact that you have got Matthew chapter 6 verse 25, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. The very fact that you've got Philippians chapter 4 verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, is that somehow, our God, when He created us, knew that we have this intrinsic ability, to have fear, anxiety, and worry. That is specifically why He's given us these Bible verses. God understands. But the difference here is this. Science tells you, yes, you can have fear, worry, anxiety. And once again, I'm telling it's these are emotions related to inorganic disease. Now, if you have got an organic problem in the brain, there's some chemical imbalance, no, that's a different issue. Here, I'm talking about irrational fear. And science gives a name for it. And some gives it a name called phobia something. Science gives a treatment for it. No, there is cognitive behavioral therapy. There's interpersonal therapy. There's pharmacotherapy. There is aromatherapy. But the Word of God also gives a solution. The Word of God tells in Psalm 95 that you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrows by the day. Nor of the pestilence in the darkness. The Word of God says, you shall not be worried. Nocotophobia, terror by night. And you know what? If you read this word, and if you were to examine our lives, you and I examine our lives, isn't it true that many times at night we suddenly have this fear, oh, have I got this disease? Somehow it creeps at night. You know, when I used to work overnight shift, I would have patients come in at 3 a.m., a 50-year-old lady who comes at 3 a.m. and tells me at 3 a.m. in the morning, doctor, I think I'm pregnant. I'm saying, madam, why are you telling that? No, I've not had my periods for 2 weeks. I'm pregnant. I said, why you came now? Well, because tonight, suddenly when I'm sleeping, I'm so scared and I'm pregnant. I cannot be pregnant. My youngest is 18 years old. Have you checked? Yeah, I checked. But you know, I checked. I bought from the pharmacy the kit. No, not reliable. No. So at 2 a.m. in the morning, this lady gets a sudden fear that she's pregnant and comes. So when this word of God tells me terror by night, it's a lot of things happens at night. And we are terrified. As a young boy, I used to be terrified of the nights. It's because I used to have asthmatic attacks when I was small. Now, this was early 1970s. I know most of you or half of you were not even born that time. And you know what? That time when you get these asthmatic attacks, inhalers all were not popular. They would have this tablet called Ventolin tablet, which when you have difficulty in breathing, you take, and it takes 45 minutes to feel its effect, you know. For 45 minutes, you're, you know, you can't lie down, you're sitting up, and then you put down your pillow like this, you're leaning forward. I mean, those who have had history of asthma know exactly what I'm talking about. Those who had it in the 1970s. Because now you just take inhaler, 2 puffs, 3 puffs, and that's it. You're all right. I used to be fearful of night. And this verse is so legitimate. I'm sure all of us have gone through this phase. Suddenly, in the middle of the night, you wake up and you're worried about something. Now, Word of God says, do not fear of the terrors of night. Do not fear of the arrows by day. Anthropophobia. Arrows is insults of people, arguing with people, fighting with people, conflicts with people. You know, so I also used to be very, very apprehensive of arguing with people. I don't like fighting with people. I don't like it. And it worries me that I may fight with someone. I may argue with someone. Oh, last week on Saturday, I had this argument with this person. Again, this Saturday, I'm meeting this person. Oh, again, also, there may be an argument. I can't sleep after an argument. I can't sleep after a conflict. And you know what happens to such people? You end up trying to be a crowd pleaser. You want to please everyone. You don't want conflict. You're scared of conflicts. So you please everyone. So the Word of God says, do not be fearful of the arrows, or do not be fearful of the pestilence in the darkness. Coronophobia, that's a term for it. People are scared whether they're infected by the coronavirus. You know, last week, on one day, I had 4 patients who came in with high blood pressure. So this was my regular patient. Now she's 60 years old. Always her blood pressure, systolic is between 120, 130, and diastolic is 70. For years, you know. And today she comes, because now, you know, you have to check the blood pressure all outside, check the temperature all outside before they can come in. So today she comes in, and her blood pressure is 170. I said, madam, why is this happening? Doctor, I don't know. I can't sleep at night. Then I sat down and I said, see, you are a very disciplined person. She's a retired teacher. You do your exercises. You're so careful about your diet. Why are you having this high blood pressure? Any other reason? Then she said, doctor, I can't sleep at night. Why? I've got sore throat. So, I think I've got COVID. 1 week she didn't sleep at night. Blood pressure 170. Pestilence in the darkness. I told her, madam, we'll do one thing for you. We've got to settle this right now. I'm not going to start you on any blood pressure medications. Now, behind, we are doing swabbing. Why don't you go and get yourself checked there? We'll do the swabbing now. She said, doctor, I would be so grateful if you could do that. I said, okay, fine. Go behind. I told the staff behind, this person is coming. Please do a swabbing immediately. And after that, call and let me know the result. Because if it is positive, she cannot come back into the clinic. She has to wait there, and from there, she has to go home to get quarantined. But if she's negative, let me know. And if she's negative, let her come wait in the waiting area for about 20 minutes. So the staff called and told me blood pressure is, told me that RTK antigen swabbing is negative. Okay, I told her, send it to the front. Let her wait there for 20 minutes. After 20 minutes, she walked in, checked the blood pressure, 120 by 70. See, this pestilence is real. These diseases are real. And the fear that comes with it is also real. But the word of God tells us in Psalm 91 verse 7, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 by your right hand, but it will not come near you. The condition is this in verse 9, if you say, the Lord is my refuge, then the fear, the anxiety, the worry. See, the problem exists. Nobody is denying that there is a pandemic. But the irrational fear and worry that comes with it, we have to deal with it and deal with it with the Word of God. When that thought comes into your mind, don't fight that thought. It's so difficult to fight that thought. But replace that thought with the Word of God. With the Word of God. Tomorrow is Father's Day. And I'm supposed to share something about Father's Day. But actually, all of what I just said this 5-10 minutes ago is related to Father's Day. Okay, so just bear with me. All the phobias of beard and phobias of car and phobias of chicken is related to Father's Day. Can we pray? Father, I thank you so much for this time. I thank you, Lord, that tomorrow is Father's Day. Tomorrow is a special day, O Lord. It's a day, dear Father, where we can embrace you as a father. And Father, I pray that as your word goes out through me, it would bring about comfort. It would bring about peace. It would remove fear, worry, and anxiety. Holy Spirit, I come humbly before you as your mouthpiece. Bless your children as your word goes out. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Father, our Master, we pray. Amen. What is the cause of this worry? What is the cause of all this anxiety? You know what? It is a spirit of orphan. It is a spirit that tells you you are without a father. Now, if you were to look at Romans chapter 8, verse 15, the spirit you received, that's the Holy Spirit, that is the Spirit of God, does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. We cry out, Abba, Father. Now, what is quite interesting here is, even in the Greek text, in the original Greek text, the word used, the word for father is pateras. Pateras. But even in the original Greek text, the word used is not pateras, it's Abba. It's Abba. Pateras means father. Father, you know, like you fill up a form, who is your father? You tell, right, who is your father? It indicates a formal relationship. But Abba is daddy. Abba is Appa. What God is trying to show you, the Holy Spirit was so particular and meticulous in making sure the message was to go out. We do not have a formal relationship with God, our Father, but we can literally call Him Daddy. We can call Him Appa. You see, the cause for all this worry and anxiety and fear is because of this orphan spirit, O-R-P-H-A-N. You feel all alone. You feel that you know, that everything that you have to go through in life, you're all alone. You may be married, you may be having loving children, you may be having loving parents, but still you feel all alone. It is a spirit of orphan. And we feel that we have to make all decisions. We feel that I'm alone. I've got this whole future before me and I don't know what to do. There is so much of uncertainties. I'm all alone. The absence of a father. And sometimes the spirit of orphan is not only that you're lonely, but you have been abandoned. Abandoned. And right now in this world, there's a lot of abandoning going around. The company that you thought you can retire in has abandoned you. The marriage that you thought would last for a lifetime, the marriage has abandoned you. People whom you trust have abandoned you. People who told you, look, I will be with you no matter what. Everything has happened, but they are not around. Jesus Christ came to the earth for two reasons. Two reasons. Luke chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus answered and said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. To what? For what? No one comes to the Father. The Father. I am the way to not the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. I am not the truth of knowing the Master of the universe. No, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life to knowing, to understanding, to embracing God as Daddy. Jesus Christ, I dare say, came to this earth for two reasons. One is to introduce God to us as a father. And two, to make sure that this relationship will go on for eternity. This relationship between a father and son. And so we find in Galatians chapter 4 verse 6, so you are no, because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. Verse 7, so you are no longer a slave. You're no longer a slave to what? You're no longer a slave to fear. You're no longer a slave to anxiety. You're no longer a slave to all these worries. You're no longer a slave. Isn't that great? Our Father frees us from this slavery. And this is very real, to be enslaved. You see, when you have, the reason why we have this worry and anxiety and all that is because we have needs which are not met. Needs which are potentially not going to be met. And we trusted something and that something put us down. And now we have this need and we're worried and we're anxious and that worry and anxious enslaves us. You know, about a few months ago, one of our staff, right, a doctor, the spouse came and told, I want to quit. I said, why? You're just going to quit just like that? I said, yeah, I want to quit. Then my business partner and I had a conversation with the staff. Why? You see, my husband has been unfaithful to me. And now he has given me the ultimatum to leave the job, to stop working. Then I told, you see, now during this period, to get a job is not easy. And if your husband has done something like this, reconcile with him, not quit your job. No, this is what my father, my husband said, I have to do it. Because if he leaves me, I have nothing. I said, you are a doctor. You have a decent income. You can definitely look after yourself. See, that's what the spirit of slavery does to you. She is enslaved not to marriage, but she's enslaved to her husband, and perfect love will cast out all fear. I am not telling that they should get divorced. I'm just saying, don't quit your job. But because she is enslaved, why? Because her husband is the provider for all her needs. Our Heavenly Father is our provider. He is our provider. Now, fathers are very important. I was listening over BBC, and there's movement across Europe for single motherhood, where they don't need father. You see, there was a study done in Malaysia in 2013 on the impact of a fatherless generation. One of the universities did. And they found that emotional distress among children was higher in fatherless family. High risk of school dropouts, high substance abuse, high incidence of premarital sex in fatherless family. Now I want to be very clear here on one issue. I am not condemning, or this is not an indictment against those children who have never had a father. Neither is this an indictment against fathers who for some reason have left their children. All that I'm telling is we have a heavenly Father who longs to be our Father, who longs to be called Abba. There is a story, a real story, a parable in Luke chapter 15. I'm going to end shortly. Luke chapter 15, verses 11 onwards. We all know this story very well. This is the story of the parable. This is the parable of the lost son. Now, Jesus continued. Luke chapter 15, verse 11. Jesus continued. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Now, verse 13. Not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had, set off to a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. Not long after leaving his father's presence, not long after leaving his father's way of doing things, not long after leaving his father's counsel, not long after leaving his father's comfort zone, not long after leaving his father's presence. What happened? He went into wild living. Our heavenly Father is Jehovah Ra'ah, the shepherd. And he is a God who knows you in and out, who knows what you need, who knows where you should be going, who knows what job you should take, who knows which house you should live in. He is our shepherd. The moment, not long after that, when he left his father's presence, he became wild. He became aimless. He lost his bearings. He lost his purpose. Our God, our heavenly Father, is a God of purpose, and he has got a purpose for your life. And that is a purpose that is the most perfect purpose. He, our heavenly Father, has got the right destination for you, the right time for you, the right place for you, because he is your heavenly Father. So please do not be like this second son to leave your heavenly Father. And what happened? He went into wild living and squandered his wealth. First point, we do not have an orphan spirit. Second point, we have a heavenly Father who is a shepherd to us. Now what happened? In verse 14, after he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of the country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eaten, but no one gave him anything. No one gave him anything. But then our Father is Jehovah Jireh. He is our provider. No one can give you what you need, my brother, my sister. Only our Father knows what you need. And he is a provider to all that you need. You know, an amazing thing I realized here is, you see, our God is a God who longs for fellowship. He longs for fellowship. In fact, his entire being is in fellowship always. He's the Father, he's the Son, he's the Spirit. And he longed for fellowship. His entire nature, he's a very sociable God. But what I realized when I look at the story of creation, something quite staggering. For a God who longed fellowship, he created first the light. Then he created the sky. Then on the third day, he created the grass, the plants and trees. On the fourth day, the sun, the moon, the stars. On the fifth day, the birds and the sea creatures. On the sixth day, the wild beasts, the reptiles, the livestock. And after that, he created the human. You see, a God who loves to socialize, a God who loves company, created Adam last. Why? So that when Adam was created, he would have had everything that he needed. He could go by the beach to relax. He could go to the forest to get food. He would not have any lack. You see the nature of God, our Father? He makes sure he created everything first and man last so that man will have everything that he needed. And what is so amazing is our God, when he created this whole universe, this whole planet called Earth for two people, he made sure there would still be oxygen for 7.6 billion people today, right now in this world. There is no oxygen lack. Jehovah Jireh, our Heavenly Father, made sure there's enough oxygen for two people and enough oxygen for 7.6 billion people. Enough plants to absorb carbon dioxide from two people and enough plants to absorb carbon dioxide from 7.6 billion people. And today, I was looking at the United Nations Food Agency. They say that the farmers in the world have got enough food for 10 billion people. We have enough food. Our Heavenly Father created this entire earth not for only two people, but thinking of 7.6 billion people. The reason why we have so much of starvation is simply because of wastage. 30 to 40% of the food is wasted. And whose fault is that? He is Jehovah Jireh. He is our provider. So first of all, we do not have to have an orphan spirit. He is Jehovah Ra'ah. He is the shepherd who will guide you. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is your provider. And finally, what happened to this man? Verse 17. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will arise and go back to my father." Not "I will arise and go back to my company and abuse them for sacking me." Not "I will arise and go back to my spouse who's leaving me and scold him or her." Not "I will arise and go and shout at the people around me for not giving me healthy food when I was young." No, "I will arise and go to my father." You know why? Because your father will never leave you nor forsake you. Never. You know, nowadays, it is so difficult to use the word never. When do you use the word never? The person whom you never thought would do this, did it. The person whom you never thought would leave you, left you. The person that you admired so much, whom you never thought would do such a thing, did it. The company that you thought you could retire with in 10 years' time is telling you to leave tomorrow. When to use the word never? But here, listen, God says, "I will never, never, never leave you nor forsake you." This is what his personality is, our God. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. My brother, my sister, maybe you don't have a father. Maybe you've had a bad experience of of having a father who has abused you or who has never been there for you. Maybe you have been a bad father, but all that I'm telling is, tomorrow as we think of Father's Day, we have a Father, a Heavenly Father, who is more perfect than the most perfect Father on earth. And so we are all not orphans. So quit worrying. Quit having fear. Embrace your Father. For He is a shepherd who will guide you. For He is a provider who will make sure you have everything you need. And He will never, never leave you. He will never forsake you. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, we thank You for this time. Abba, Father, Daddy, thank You so much that You're here. Thank You that we are so privileged that we have a Heavenly Father who is so perfect, who knows everything that we need, not today, not tomorrow, but what we need in 5 years' time, who knows what our children needs, who knows how much we need, what we need, where we can find these needs from. We thank You for our Heavenly Father. And I pray that each of us will experience this beautiful, wonderful relationship with You as how a son and daughter would with a father. Thank You, O Lord, for this time. And I pray that each one who has heard Your words through me would be blessed and comforted. And the spirit of fear, the spirit of irrational fear will be rebuked. The spirit of anxiety will be rebuked. The spirit of worry will be rebuked in the name of Jesus, because none of us are orphans. Thank You, Lord. We ask all this in the name of our Father, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I hope that you've got all your emblems ready. We're going to have communion now. You know, there was an interesting conversation that took place on the cross. One is, Jesus tells His Father, "Why have You forsaken Me?" See, God forsook His Son so that He would never have to forsake you and I. Jesus also told to the sinner, the thief on the cross, "Today you will be in paradise with Me." Today Jesus is telling you and I am with you right now. Right now, you're not alone. So as we partake in this communion, let us remember and thank God and break into this relationship of fatherhood with our Lord. The Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took the bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is My body, which is broken for you." Let us eat this bread together. In the same manner, after the supper, He took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me." Shall we partake the emblems together? You can put down your cup. If you have never known God as your Father, today is your chance to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Father. Let us pray. Father, I thank You for this time together. I thank You, O Lord, for this communion that we have just had. And Father, we bless Your name for this communion. We thank You, O Lord, that this is in remembrance of who You are to us. You are a Father to us. And we thank You, Lord, that just as how You spoke to the thief on the cross, that Today, that thief will be in paradise with you. Today, you are letting us know through this communion that you are with us right now, Father, as a Father, for which we are grateful to you for this communion. We thank you, Lord, for this communion, and we bless your name, and we praise your name for being our Father. We ask all of this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our Father. Amen. I'd like to wish all of you a blessed week ahead. Stay healthy, stay safe, and remember, you are not an orphan. God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to today's sermon. We trust that you have been blessed. For more sermons like this, do log on to our church website at www.calvary.com.my. Have an amazing week ahead, and may the abundance of the Lord fill you this week.